is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
July 31st, 2022, Kabul, Afghanistan. An operation that leaves Ayman al-Zawahiri, KIA, the leader of al-Qaeda, inheriting from the leader of al-Qaeda since the beginning, bin Laden. But this significant death gives us an opening to talk about al-Qaeda in 2023. And I welcome Cole Bunzel of the Hoover Institution, a fellow. He is the editor of Jihadica, the blog, watching both al-Qaeda and ISIS and other bad actors associated with the jihad. Cole, I thank you very much. The striking thing about al-Zawahiri's death, you note, is that he wasn't an inspirational leader. He was articulate, but he tended to drone on. And his death now has illustrated that ISIS, that al-Qaeda itself might be going through a bad patch. What do we know about al-Qaeda in Afghanistan right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks, John, for having me. Well, we know that some members of al-Qaeda are still located in Afghanistan. These are what the U.S. government sometimes calls the legacy core members of al-Qaeda. According to some government officials, though, there are only about a dozen of these left. So while the Taliban has been maintaining this relationship with al-Qaeda, or at least one segment of the Taliban, known as the Haqqani Network, which controls the Interior Ministry, has maintained this relationship with al-Qaeda, it's really unclear how much al-Qaeda is going to kind of be able to revive its fortunes by means of this relationship. First of all, Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was being basically given a residence by the Haqqani Network in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. Well, we had very good ears and eyes on the ground there. We were able to pinpoint his location. We determined that he wasn't really an immediate threat in any way. So instead of dropping a bomb on the entire compound or trying to kill his family, we used very precision drone to kill him while he was outside enjoying his morning on the balcony. So what this shows is that there, while this relationship endures, there don't seem to be a whole lot of al-Qaeda legacy members left. There are many reasons for this. Part of it has to do with the rise of ISIS, sort of eclipsing al-Qaeda as the vanguard of the global jihad. Part of it is American counterterrorism pressure, particularly in Yemen, where there were and still are some key al-Qaeda leaders. So we've seen al-Qaeda kind of losing a lot of its edge, a lot of its leaders. It's unclear exactly where it's going to go into the future. I think it really is facing an existential crisis, at least when we talk about al-Qaeda as a centralized organization with a clear mission.
Taliban needs money. Al-Qaeda used to be really good at raising money. Have they lost that as that opportunity as well? Are they regarded as poor, al-Qaeda?
I think they probably are. You can regard them as poor. But it's important to remember that they, you know, I don't think the 9/11 operation, I don't think it cost more than $150,000, $200,000 to pull off. What's really important to note about al-Qaeda and jihadi finances at large is that the environment in which we operate in today is completely different from what preceded 9/11. Financial sanctions have really scared the banks in the Gulf that used to process payments and hold the accounts for people donating money to groups like al-Qaeda. So I think that they are cash poor. It doesn't seem like they're currently in a position to plan and carry out any kind of attack against the United States, certainly not on the level of 9/11.
I'm trying to understand the relationship between the Taliban in government in Afghanistan and al-Qaeda, its longtime guest or resident. So is this Don Quixote and Sancho Panza? Is this Tom and Jerry? Is there a way to colorfully express their relationship?
I think it's a difficult relationship really to understand, even more difficult to explain, because there is a bond. First, there's a bond of faith. There's religion, Islam, that kind of binds these two groups together. But the Taliban, it sees itself as what they call themselves, the Islamic Emirate. They the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. So they are a legitimate political authority, and they have invited Al-Qaeda to be part of the Emirate. And that means that Al-Qaeda is in a subordinate status to the Taliban. And so during these negotiations between the United States and the Taliban preceding the agreement that was reached in February 2020, the United States was adamant that the relationship between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda had to be severed. If that were the case, we were essentially telling the Taliban, get rid of this relationship with Al-Qaeda. You can have Afghanistan. We don't want to be in Afghanistan. We're only there because of Al-Qaeda. And they kind of they wavered. They didn't say anything totally clear that they were going to cut this relationship off. But the agreement essentially required them to do so, required them to stop hosting Al-Qaeda. So what they did during this period between the agreement that was struck in February 2020 and the U.S. departure, which I think was in 2021, the summer, Al-Qaeda was basically told, you can't talk in public anymore. So Al-Qaeda's media went dark. Al-Qaeda kind of pretended even that Ayman al-Zawahiri was dead. There was this whole song and dance. So there's this strange choreography going on between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and where the Taliban was trying to pretend vis-a-vis the West that Al-Qaeda didn't really exist anymore in Afghanistan. They said this publicly, and the United States said, you're lying. The United States was right. But at the end of the day, if it's only 12 or 13 people who were there and they're not posing an immediate threat because the Taliban, according to some government information, is forbidding them from planning attacks against the U.S., it's hard to say that this is a position in which the Al-Qaeda is going to resuscitate itself after a period of not being able to carry out major attacks, especially with Ayman al-Zawahiri gone.
You list four satellites, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab in Africa, AQIM in Africa in the Sahel, AQAP in the Gulf, and in Idlib province, two organizations, Jabhat al-Nusra. Is there a way of articulating the difference between those groups? Are they act independently, except for the ideology, I understand, the religion, but is one more effective at recruiting and operations than another, or are they all catch as catch can?
Yeah, so these are the so-called Al-Qaeda affiliates. And so the leaders of these groups have pledged loyalty or bay'ah publicly and officially to the leader of Al-Qaeda, though he's now dead, and by means of him to the leader of the Taliban. So in theory, these groups are actually subordinate to the leader, not only of Al-Qaeda, but of the Taliban. But it's not clear that they really operate in that way. So they mostly function as local insurgent organizations. Some of them are extremely powerful. Some of them are extremely weak. The most powerful of the ones you mentioned, I would say, are Shabaab in Somalia, a group that's been around for more than a decade and a half. It's extremely effective. It governs parts of Somalia, and it's a major problem. It's even been responsible for plotting against the United States. But for the most part, this is a local organization operating in Somalia. You mentioned AQIM. That stands for Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghrib. Historically, this group was based in Algeria, but in recent years, it's shifted its focus farther south and kind of grafted itself onto a local insurgency centered in the Sahel, or primarily in Mali. And that group is now JNIM, and that is a kind of affiliate of an affiliate. Things get complicated fast in the Al-Qaeda world. The affiliate that you mentioned in Yemen, that's called Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and it's also historically been around for a long time. But in recent years, it has lost a lot of its momentum, largely because there's been this ongoing civil war in Yemen for about a decade now, and with the intervention of other powers, particularly Iran, with the Houthis, the Saudis, and the Emiratis trying to prop up the actual government there. AQAP has kind of lost its positioning. And then when things come to Syria, it's even more complicated, because there was a group there from 2013 to 2016 called Jabhat al-Nusra. And that was a bona fide Al-Qaeda affiliate, very prominent in its display of affection for Al-Qaeda. But in 2016 and 2017, it actually decided to leave Al-Qaeda, because the leaders of that group decided that the relationship was actually a burden on them in their quest to become a legitimate governing authority in northern Syria. So that group is now split. It became what's known as HTS, or Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, and that controls the province of Idlib in northwestern Syria, governing several million people. Now there's a separate al-Qaeda affiliate that tried to emerge in Syria after this split happened. That's called Haras al-Din, or HD, but HTS has effectively prevented that group from operating. So it, all in all, you see this kind of disjointed field of al-Qaeda satellites. And the relationship to the center, I would say, is not very strong. It's not very clear how much it matters what's going on in Afghanistan.
Do any of these four that you've explicated, do they evidence good access to money, to resources, or are they all bumping along as best they can?
They do. They do have, well, it depends. I don't think AQAP and Yemen is doing terribly well financially, but the ones that control territory, for example, HTS in Syria and Shabab in Somalia, well, they tax the population and they extort, and they're able to raise lots of money. So money's not a problem for them. The same goes pretty much for Mali, for JNIM. These aren't resource-rich organizations. They're not taking money from oil fields or anything like that, but they're doing just fine in terms of trying to rule a local, mostly rural area.
Cole Bunzel for the Hoover Institution. He's a research fellow helping us understand the beginning of 2023 and the war against the jihadists in the Ummah. When we come back, the subset of al-Qaeda, ISIS, where is it and how is it regarded in the sovereign territories where it occupies? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.